Chapter 2. We're going to just cover two verses today, Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15. So hopefully you've made your way in your Bible to that place. Where the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes this: "Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Heavenly Father, please open up our minds, open up our hearts to receive your word this morning, that your church would not be a grumbling people. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the command that we have in front of us this morning, it follows one of the greatest passages in Scripture, where last week we learned that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who is at work inside of us to will and to work for His good pleasure. Of all the things that the Apostle Paul could have followed that passage with, he chose to write this. This is what Paul wanted his church in Philippi to know, and how they are to work out their salvation. And so of all the things that he could have said that he desired for them to be or that he desired for them to do, he tells them to not be grumblers, to not be grumblers, to not be murmurers, and to not be complainers. And I think that as we move forward this morning, we'll see why Paul uses this command here in particular, because he is an excellent student of God's Word. He knew what it taught. He knew the history of the people of Israel. He knew the story of the Bible. When God called a people out of Egypt, over 1,000 years before he wrote this, he knew that those things were written down for our instruction. That's what he tells the church at Corinth. He says, "These things took place as an example to us, that we might not desire evil as they did." And so as we read our Old Testaments, it gives us instruction on what we are supposed to be as children of God and what we are not supposed to be as children of God. So these things were written down for our sake, so that we might know. So Paul constantly received instruction from the Old Testament to help him teach God's people who are now learning to follow Jesus Christ many generations later. And so I want to show the connection where Paul's command is coming from, and hope that it will be helpful this morning to remind us that we are not to be grumblers. Not to be grumblers. So Paul writes this thinking about a people who had been in slavery in Egypt, and God saved them and promised them freedom and a new land flowing with milk and honey. He was taking them out of this place, out of this place of bondage, and giving them a place that they didn't deserve. He was going to save them out of slavery and give them freedom. It was a couple hundred miles long that they needed to go to travel. It had been about a 5-hour drive for us today as we travel from Egypt into Israel, but it was a bit longer to walk for several hundred thousand people. It's going to take them a little while to get there. And if you know the story, you remember what they experienced before they left. God sent down 10 plagues on Egypt. None of it touched his people. Boils, blood, bugs, right? Darkness covering the whole land, death to the livestock, all of these things to show Pharaoh who truly was God, and it wasn't him. They had no power against this God. He showed up in a mighty way that could not be explained by anything other than he exists, the one true and living God. And finally, the last plague brought death to all the firstborn of Egypt. And eventually Pharaoh relented, and he let God's people go and released them to go to their promised land. And so God's power was seen as delivering his people from a nation that oppressed them, made them their slaves, a way of life that dishonored his children and his name. But you know the story, how it goes. When they're leaving Egypt, what happens with Pharaoh? He changes his mind. He thinks, last second, what am I doing? These are the people that are making bricks for us. Why am I turning these people loose? And they chase after them. They come running after God's people. And they have their backs against the Red Sea and nowhere else to go. And then God miraculously opens up the waters. He opens up the waters for them to pass through. And the scriptures say that the ground that they walked on was like a desert. Every ounce of water disappeared from it. Gone. A cloud was behind them, keeping the Egyptians from getting through to catch them. And so every one of God's people made it through to the other side. And what happened when the Egyptians walked into the dry land? Every single one of them was covered with water and drowned. God brought judgment upon them. So this small, this weak nation was saved purely by the power and the grace of God. So you might think that with an experience like that, that these people would have had an immovable faith. They'd have been unshakable, right? After seeing all of this happen, how God has delivered them by his power, by his grace, his wisdom, nothing could withhold his hand. You would think that they would have been unshakable there in the desert. They sang a song of praise to God right after he delivered them. You can read that in Exodus chapter 15. And this is the next paragraph in Scripture. This is Exodus 15, starting at verse 22. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Did you catch that? They went 3 days into the wilderness. These people still had Red Sea sand on their shoes. They go 3 days and they start grumbling. At the first sight of trouble, they were already forgetting God's power and his love. Those 10 plagues, gone. God's deliverance, gone. All they were worried about was their appetite, their thirst right there in the desert, and they grumbled against Moses. And not just against Moses, but against their God. Did God not know they were thirsty? Did God not have power to give them water? The same God that had worked all of these miracles right before their eyes, could he not do this one small thing? And yet they grumble. And God shows them grace. He shows them mercy. He tells Moses to throw a log into the water. Moses throws the log in. The water becomes sweet. They're able to drink it. Right after that, God takes them to an oasis with springs of water and 70 palm trees to house them for a short while. God showed his kindness to them. The next sentence, Exodus 16, starting at verse 1. Listen to what happens. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. If it's the wilderness of Sin, you just know something bad's about to happen, right? Like, what a name. Which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out here into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." Man, isn't that something? They complain about being thirsty. God gives them water. He takes them to an oasis. They leave. They start getting hungry. And what do they do again? They begin to grumble. And think about what they're saying here. They're telling God, or challenging his goodness. They're challenging his goodness. "You took us out of Egypt where we had all sorts of food to eat. We were never hungry. We sat by the meat pots." They're salivating thinking about this. "We had all the bread that we needed. We lacked nothing. Why did you take us out of there, God? At least there we weren't hungry, but look at you. You brought us out here into the desert to kill us. Was there not enough space in Egypt to bury this whole assembly? You had to bring us out here to do it. Think of think of what it took to say something like that. God showing his love, his deliverance, and yet this is what he gets in return. A people who grumble. He's leading them to the promised land. Their appetites will soon be filled for generations to come, but at the first sight of hardship, they're inclined to grumble or murmur. There's that word, murmuring. It sounds like grumbling, doesn't it? They're murmuring. You know, and it might seem so insignificant to some that that's what's happening. You know, they're not out there killing each other. They're not sleeping with each other's wives out there in the desert. They're not stealing their neighbor's sheep out there. They grumble. But we learn very quickly that God hates grumbling. He hates a murmuring spirit. Grumbling is the product of an unbelieving, ungrateful heart. A heart that's questioning, arguing with the wisdom and goodness of God. And you know, as Paul writes here in Philippians 2:14, he says, do all things without grumbling or questioning. That's what these people are doing. They're questioning God. These are internal thoughts, internal wrestlings with the goodness of God. They don't have to open up their mouths. They're saying it in their minds even. What's this God doing? What's he doing out here? Does he know what he's doing? Does he know where he's leading us? I could find food better than this. What's he doing? They're not trusting in him. Children that doubt their father's goodness and his wisdom grumble. That's where grumbling comes from. They talk back. They murmur. They complain to their friends. You know, my dad doesn't know what he's up to. He thinks he knows everything. But he doesn't know anything. I think I could do better for myself. If it was up to me, then this is what I would do. I wouldn't be doing what he's doing. And if he loved me right now, he wouldn't have me right out here in this mess. That's what grumbling children sound like. I think any parent knows what it's like to genuinely love your kids and give good things to them and to know things about the situation that they don't know because you're the adult, and then to hear them complain. It's infuriating. It tears you up on the inside. Because even when I do make mistakes, and as a father, I do make mistakes, I don't necessarily need my kids to be the peanut gallery to point it all out to me. Well, God here never makes mistakes. He never makes mistakes. He's always good in everything that he does. He serves his people, loves his people, pours out blessings upon them, never errs. And there, here in the desert, these people are questioning his goodness and wisdom at every turn. Their stomachs just need to grumble a little bit, and they start grumbling. Their mouth gets a little bit dry, and they start questioning God. So maybe it's pretty clear to you why I am telling you this story this morning about the children of Israel and their grumbling. Because this is a very present danger for everybody here today. It's a very present danger for all of us. God has called us out of Egypt too. And it's a spiritual one. When you believe the gospel for the first time, that the Son of God died and was raised for you, when that first entered into your heart and made a difference in your life, God worked a miracle in your heart that made you his child. You became his treasured possession, delighting over you and singing songs of joy. That's what God did with you. And he brought you into a covenant relationship with himself where he promised his goodness and his faithfulness to you forever. Promised himself to you. Much like people do when they get married, when they give their vows. Only God will always deliver on his promise. He will always be good to you. No matter what it looks like in your life, right then and there, God is showing you goodness. He's working all things for your good. Sin no longer was your master when you believed. God had called you out of Egypt. You were his. And here the apostle knows, looking at what happened to Israel, that the temptation for God's people of any generation is to forget how good God is and that He's always working things for my good, even when my childlike eyes and mind do not understand. He is good and He is faithful. And we forget that. And what do? We grumble. We complain. We wrestle with God inside of our minds and hearts. And so when Israel couldn't find water as quickly as they wanted to in the desert, it's like they were saying God didn't know where it was at. Or maybe God didn't have the map to the promised land. He'd forgotten where they were going. We're just out here wandering around for nothing, and God's going to kill us, going to die of thirst. Could he not see that they were getting thirsty or that they were getting hungry? Was God unaware of these things? No. He had a purpose for their thirst, and he had a purpose for their hunger. It was not a mistake. He was putting their faith to the test. Were they going to trust in him in this situation? Were they going to believe, no matter what their stomachs and their mouths felt like or said, was God trustworthy? Was he going to take care of them? Was he going to provide for them out of his goodness? Or was he unfaithful and evil? Was that the kind of God that they had? Just bringing them out in the desert to kill them. And so the story of Israel there is that their hearts did not respond in faith. They did not respond in faith. They chose to grumble. They chose to question. And so this morning, I'd like for you to think about your own ways. Think about the way you respond to difficulty in your life. Do you respond with trust for your God? Do you believe in His goodness? Do you believe in His wisdom? Or do you doubt His love? I think it could be anything that comes into your life. The doctor comes into the room and he drops the C word on you. Or maybe your spouse comes in and drops the D word on you. But more often than not, it's not things like that. It's the stress of just everyday life. It's the things that happen in your home from day to day, like being hungry, like being thirsty. The house is messy. Your husband says something stupid. Your wife says something stupid. Your kids say something stupid. Things like that happening in your house from day to day. Not enough paycheck at the end of the month. Someone spent too much money at the store. You're having a hard time sleeping at night. You have a nagging headache or a nagging boss. Just the stuff of life. How do you respond in it? Do you grumble? Do you still believe in those moments that you have a God who loves you? Or do you doubt? For those of you who don't really see yourselves as sinners, maybe you don't ever do the type of things that shock people, never going to see your name in the newspaper, never going to get caught in some scandal. So you have a hard time seeing yourself this morning as a sinner. That's for all the other people who need the grace of God. But are you a grumbler? Do you have conversations inside of your head about all the frustrations in life, all the people that have let you down, all the things that you would do a little bit differently if you were in charge? Do you grumble? Do you dwell on all of those things that you don't like? Do you question constantly in your mind and then eventually with your mouths? Complaining to your friends, trying to get somebody else on board with you to complain with you. It's like a cancer that spreads. We need to understand this morning that this is sin. This is sin, and God hates this. Enough so, God hates this, to eventually have every person in this generation of Israel out there in the wilderness, all of these people right here, except for two, they died there. God brought judgment against them. And at the end of Deuteronomy, right before he dies, Moses sings a song to Israel, and he taught it to them. They were going to have to sing it to one another once they came into the promised land. It was going to be a witness. It was going to be a witness against them and against their sin. And listen to how they are described. This is Deuteronomy 32:5. It says, they have dealt corruptly with him. It's talking about Israel dealing corruptly with God. They are no longer his children because they are blemished. They are a crooked and twisted generation. Have you heard that quotation anywhere else this morning? Have you heard that? And if you have, it's because it's right there in our passage today. And in the Old Testament, this was used as a quotation about Israel. They broke the covenant. They broke the covenant. And God says of them that they are no longer his children because they blemished themselves. They are the crooked and twisted generation. But here in our passage this morning in Philippians chapter 2, Paul repurposes the phrase. He changes it a little bit, essentially saying, you, God's people, his church that he purchased with the blood of his son, you are not going to be like them. You are not going to be like them. The work that God started in you when he called you out of Egypt, he is going to complete. He is going to finish that work. He is at work in you right now. Therefore, do not grumble. Do not be a grumbling, complaining, questioning, challenging people, but submit to this good and gracious God. You're not going to be like them. So this is part of our working out our salvation with fear and trembling. God is at work in you, and he will not let you fall in the wilderness. He will uphold you with his strong and mighty and gracious hand. He will not allow you to fall like the children of Israel did. Therefore, do not grumble like they did. Show yourselves to be the children of God who don't soil themselves with complaint, don't blemish themselves, griping. And that's what the world does, isn't it? I read this week that the language of our culture is complaint, and man, it is. You do not have to look very far just to find somebody complaining about something. And it's not just our neighbors, it's not just the people around us. Just read the news, read your social media posts that are around you. Somebody is always complaining. Somebody's always frustrated, griping about something. It's almost like a hobby. People love to complain. Not God's people. And so when Paul says here that you will be without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, that's what they are like, not you. You're not to be grumblers. You're to be innocent children of God. And you are to shine as lights in the world in this crooked and twisted generation. Last night I sat outside, it was late. I know in the city, you know, the light and the sky is a little bit brighter. Sometimes it's kind of hard to see the stars. But I'm looking out in the south sky, and I could see the stars out in the distance. Now, you got black all around them, but these little beams of light shining through in the darkness. And that is exactly what Paul is saying here. It's literally stars in the heavens. That's what we're to be like. The world is dark. It is black. Full of complaint, full of sin and grumbling. We are not to be that way. We're to be lights. We're to be contented, joyful, grateful for what God brings to us, even when it is difficult, because we are trusting in him. We don't respond in complaint. We respond in gratitude. Truly believing that we have a kind and gracious God who sees our situation. You know, of all the people that are sitting out here this morning, there are any number of things that you all are struggling with today. Some of you all, I know what's going on in your lives. Will you believe right now that God is good? That even in your difficulty, the challenges that you are facing, he is showing his kindness to you, working it for your good because he loves you. You believe that? Some of you have loved ones who aren't well. Some of you here this morning aren't well. Some of you are struggling this morning in your marriages, your relationship with your kids, things that hurt. And God wants you to know that He is there with you every step of the way in the wilderness, and He will not let you fall. He will hold you up, and He will carry you because He is good, and He promised you His faithfulness. And though we are like children, we are His children. We cannot see like He sees. We don't see the big picture often. We just see what's right there in front of our faces, much like our 5-year-old kids do. But they know that at dinner time, mom and dad are going to feed them. They're going to take care of them. They're going to show them love. Do you believe that your God is your Father and that He's going to care for you? No matter what's going to happen in your life, or will you choose to complain? Walk in the way of faith, not in the way of doubt. That is what Jesus Christ went to the cross to purchase for you, your belief that God truly is good in everything that He does. So do not be a grumbler this morning. Believe in the goodness of the gospel, that God is making you new and He wants you to be a light in this world for His sake. We need to understand that God intends hardship to produce holiness. He doesn't just throw it at us and expect us to pull up our boots and tie them tighter, work a little bit harder. We need to understand that in every hardship that comes into our life, God has designed it, given it, to produce holiness in His people. Sin and Satan intend hardship to produce a grumbling and questioning heart. God intends it to produce Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. A quiet trust in God's goodness and in His wisdom, that He loves me and is working everything for my good while I'm on this journey from Egypt to the promised land. God has promised us a home, and we're walking there, and He's with us every step of the way. And if that truth is always out in front of me, always in my grasp, I will not doubt Him when difficulty stands in my way, and I will not complain against Him in unbelief. I'll be like my Savior. And I was reminded of this in Isaiah 53 last night, where it says, "He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth." He didn't complain, He didn't grumble, He didn't question. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. So when difficulty comes to you, where do you look? You look to your Savior. You look to your Savior for strength, contentment, for joy, for gratitude. I need to work hard against grumbling. I need to make war on that sin and not let it have me. And maybe you've walked in here this morning from some challenging circumstances, maybe even your car as you got out this morning. Maybe you had a difficult ride with your family even getting here, and you showed up with a grumbling spirit. You need to make war on that sin today, believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'd be able to say, "Get behind me, Satan, and sin. You are not my master today. My master is good, and He's wise in everything that He does. And even in this He is. I will not doubt Him. I will not be laid low in the desert like they were. But my God will carry me to the promised land on the back and blood of my Savior, Jesus Christ. He will complete what He started in me. And I will not grumble, because I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength." Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. I'm thankful for Your word, that it points out things like this, things that come so easy into the human heart. When things do not go our way, we grumble and we don't think about it. May not even think of it as being a sin, but yet Your word points it out to us that it is a heart of unbelief. Thank You, God, for arresting our attention grabbing us in our seats this morning and showing us that you desire a holy, innocent, pure, unblemished people. So God, give us a heart of contentment. There are struggling people in our midst today, and you are enough for them. There are people here in front of us this morning, Lord, that are having their faith tested. Tested either to trust in your goodness or to doubt it. Please well up inside of them faith, strength, trust in their Savior. And crucify this spirit of grumbling that lives inside of your people. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.